This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we are mask-free, yet still physically distant, to bring you the LGBT issues of the world. And I'm thrilled to be joined tonight on the World Wide Wave panel by Shannon.
Hello, hello.
And Stefan.
Good evening.
When you're planning to buy something, how much thought do you give about whether that purchase is helping or hindering LGBTI rights? The pink dollar has power, according to tonight's guest, and that purchasing power is starting to make an impact.
Paul Thompson is a man on a mission. He is the founder of a company called LGBT Capital. According to Paul, each year, LGBT people spend almost $4 trillion and they have a collective wealth of $23 trillion. His company has a focus on the LGBT consumer segment and also works to influence decision makers in the field of finance and investment. He believes we can make our money work for improved LGBT rights.
Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
I don't think that we as a community have been at all good about making our money and the power of what we have count. We're good at saying we should have rights and we should have rights and it is the right thing to do. But we believe that ultimately money talks. And if we're going to get changes for us, using our spending power to get change is really important.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
When you think of London and Wall Street, where the dollars are big but the ethics probably aren't, you might find it hard to see how investment might influence LGBT rights. But there is now a company that uses macroeconomic modelling to develop an understanding of the purchasing power of the LGBT market. They use this to empower LGBT people to make more informed investment decisions while also challenging the worldwide investment market to consider LGBT rights when deciding where they put their funds. Paul Thompson has been working in high-profile investments for most of his working life, but was not always out about his personal life. Now he has co-founded a company set on making change in the high-flying investment sectors to help advance LGBT equality and inclusion globally. We asked Paul to tell us about what his company does.
I come from the investment management industry, you know, having worked there for many years and probably working in a job that I did okay, but I didn't really want to be in. And over time, I thought about aligning what I knew how to do, which was investment-related stuff, with what I'm passionate about, which is LGBT-related issues. And we believe that there was, firstly, a market to look at the LGBT consumer base as a segment of the general population and do what, you know, investment banks and others would do and look at that market as potential for clients from an investment viewpoint and everything else. From a sort of community perspective and advocacy perspective, we also felt there was huge advantage because if the power of our spending power can be truly understood and then used to support and effect change, then we think we can do some good with it as well. So the three sort of main business areas that we have and have developed, firstly, we have an investment-related operation where we have invested in LGBT-oriented businesses. And we don't look at necessarily who's running a business. What is important to us is that that business hits the LGBT consumer. So that was the first one. Secondly, we started producing statistics in the way that if you're an investment manager in the real world, you want to go and find statistics about a particular market. But the LGBT space, it didn't exist. So we started about 5 years ago launching statistics on spending power. We refer to it as our LGBT GDP. So we like lots of letters because we're in the financial industry. But basically what it means is how much money does the LGBT community have to spend? My business partner is an economist by trade. So he kind of did a lot of macroeconomic models and we did it properly. And currently, the numbers show that there's about a $4 trillion US dollar. So $4 trillion of spending power. And what does that mean? Well, what I say to people when I say, if that spending power was a country, it would be the fourth or fifth biggest economy in the world, the size of Germany. So therefore, it is a serious force. And we believe that that is important for people to know. It's important to start understanding the market, but it can really support developing change and more freedoms for LGBT people, particularly in developing markets. We broke that down by country. So we have a list of pretty much every country and what its LGBT GDP is. The second thing we produce is information on tourism. Tourism is a really big sector for the LGBT marketplace, largely driven on the basis that, you know, particularly traditionally, LGBT people didn't have families, tended to travel more and had other reasons to travel, particularly people who live in countries where they can't be open. If they travel, they can go to places where they can be open. We've seen a huge drive in LGBT people from China traveling in Thailand, where I live, and in Australia and everywhere else as well. And we said, what does the LGBT tourism do for each economy? What money does it bring to the economy? Because that means that we can lobby governments to do the right thing to the LGBT community. So just give an example. I was presenting at an event here in Thailand yesterday, and I said that LGBT tourism represents more than 1% of the total GDP of Thailand, right? 1% of the total GDP. Now, before COVID, if we had a 0.5% variation on GDP in a developed economy, we'd say, wow, this is massive. So 1% of the total GDP is really important. And, you know, it's not surprising, therefore, that a country like Thailand in Southeast Asia has now started embracing LGBT tourism. The Tourism Authority of Thailand, which actually uses our numbers and has quoted our numbers, has now started proactively marketing to the LGBT community and telling them where to go. So these statistics are important. And the third area of statistics is household wealth. How much money do we have? And I don't think that we as a community have been at all good about making our money and the power of what we have count. We're good at saying we should have rights and it is the right thing to do. But we believe that ultimately money talks. And if we're going to get changes for us, using our spending power to get change is really important. Just give you an example. One of the things that we're working on at the moment is a project with the people that manage our money to say to them, when you invest in a company, are you investing in a company that abuses LGBT people? Are you investing in a company that has no rights for its LGBT employees? Because if you are, you shouldn't. And if you are, we'll make sure the LGBT community know about that and don't use you as an investment provider. And the statistic was astonishing because we did some research with using numbers from investment banks, from governments, everything else. And the LGBT community represent $20 trillion US dollars, 20 trillion, they're big numbers of wealth that we could be using to say, companies, you've got to do the right thing. And if investment managers adopted an approach that said, we won't invest in companies that do bad things or don't support LGBT people, we won't invest in you, those companies would have to change. because they need investment for companies with their share price and everything else. So all of our work kind of fits that model where we think there's a business opportunity, but we also think there's an opportunity to support and affect change.
Paul Thompson, the co-founder of LGBT Capital, with us on Joy 94.9. Do you think we really understand the power that LGBT consumers have when we buy things?
I don't think I had thought about it like that in terms of, you know, I mean, it's quite simple that it's where you decide to spend the money will have an influence on the ethics of the company, but I've never actually thought about it, so...
Have you ever, if I flip that, and have you ever done, you know, have you ever bought something because it was more environmental or not bought something because you perceived the company was not environmental?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, and I've boycotted things because there were good reasons that I thought to do that. And I purchased, especially like makeup, when that's, you know, more environmental and that sort of thing. But yeah, I had never really thought about it perhaps in the area of LGBT rights, which is interesting and something that I probably should look at more.
And, you know, if you look at super, there are options for ethical things. And, you know, I wouldn't put my money in tobacco company, for example. But I never actually thought of having the same mindset for companies that would support LGBTIQ issues.
Well, now's the time. The statistics quite blew me away. Not only the size of the spend, you know, the size of the German economy is being spent every year by LGBT people, but just the fact that nobody's done this work before. Like the pink dollar concept has been around for so long, but nobody's sort of thought to really, you know, map and model this out and see how big it is.
Yeah. Is it because we kind of, when we talk about the pink dollar, we're more thinking of spending and having this disposable income rather than investment?
Could be.
Because we've talked about that a lot, you know, no kids, income, double income, all this thing, and the spending power that some LGBT, not everybody obviously, has. And now maybe it's time to think about investment and how we can do it better for the community.
And that double income, no kids concept, which Paul points out is kind of where it has come from. There's more rainbow families now. But that leads into the focus on LGBT travel, greater disposable income. So again, have you picked a destination because of, you know, it's LGBT life? Or conversely, have you boycotted or stopped visiting somewhere because of negative LGBT rights?
I don't think I've picked places to go because of the LGBTIQ life, but I have definitely not gone to places that I would like to go to because of the law that could negatively affect me. I mean, I wouldn't go to Russia. I'd love to go. I really want to go on the Trans-Siberian train, but if I do that, I'll stop in Mongolia. I wouldn't go all the way to Russia. I wouldn't go to some places in the Middle East. So... I mean, it's not boycotting. Well, I don't know if it's boycotting, but it's making a decision that it is a risk. There are risks for our community in these places, and I'm not prepared to take that risk.
Yeah, also, I think when it comes to the whole pink dollar thing, there are definitely some parts of it that are accurate, but I also think that my identity, I think, as a woman... is something I more think about in that sense than being LGBT. Because there is like just a much higher chance that I'm going to be paid less and that I'll be of a woman who is also being paid less. So it's going to be very hard for me to marry rich is I guess what I've come to at the end of that.
Some very interesting points to think about when we're spending our money. And coming up, we find out the difference between companies that actually advance LGBTI rights and those that do it just to tick a box. You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGBT Denmark. You're hearing me on the Worldwide Wave.
Even though we're currently broadcasting outside of the studios, you can still message us by Facebook, and that's Worldwide Wave or W3 Joy.
Money makes the world go round, or so they say. But can money make a real and lasting difference to improve LGBT rights? Could it be that what you buy could actually be the difference between global LGBT rights going forwards or backwards? Paul Thompson is the co-founder of LGBT Capital, a company that perhaps knows more about LGBT consumers than most others. While the concept of the pink dollar has been around for many years, we asked Paul why LGBT Capital is the first to undertake detailed modelling to really try to understand LGBT expenditure and market value.
It's an interesting question, and the first answer is we're totally wrong, which is why nobody else is doing it. But I don't think that's the right answer. I think it just happens to be the case that we came in at the right time. We sort of have the background of doing this in another area, and we've been involved in financial institutions for many years. And as such, we just happen to be the first mover. But there is a lot of other work that does go on when it comes to the pink dollar, and particularly more so in the US. So, for example, give you another thing that we do. As well as looking at LGBT-focused businesses, we also review big businesses to look at their LGBT track records. So we produced effectively an index of companies and looked at their diversity policies. Do they have LGBT employee networks? Do they give employee benefits to their same-sex employees the same as they would? And we actually screened, and we built an investment process to screen companies, just like any other investment manager would look at a company and say, well, you know, is it going to produce profit this year? And what we actually showed is that companies that do LGBT diversity and stuff well generally outperform those companies that don't. Not just because of the diversity element, but because it's an indicator that they do other things well. So for us, you know, again, that's an opportunity for us to offer a service and a product to people that are interested in investing with their heart as well as with their head. But it also allows advocacy, because it allows you to do shareholder activism and make sure that the companies are actually doing the right thing.
So you've mentioned that not a lot of people make these decisions based on sexuality and gender, but you know, roughly how many people make financial decisions based on sexuality or gender identity?
It's not so much making the decisions on those factors themselves. I look upon it as, for example, social responsible funds have become very big issues now. So if we look to, say, going back to environmental issues, people would say, I don't feel good investing in companies that are bad for the planet. I don't feel good in investing in companies that make tobacco or whatever. And so therefore that social element comes in. And what this becomes is simply a factor. You still look at whether it's a good company, but you actually say, we'll screen out those companies that have bad LGBT records. And we typically look at factors like diversity. Do they protect their employees? Do they have diversity policies? Do they have employee networks and so on? But there is also the flip side to that, you know, do they have a brand? And you know, if you do things right internally, it's more likely that you'll project externally. So do you have a brand that becomes more appealing to an LGBT consumer?
On this show, we've covered many times before some of the big multinationals, particularly financial services and the big consultancies, who have, you know, good, strong LGBT staff groups, progressive policies. And within some countries, by putting forward these progressive policies, they're able to sort of have some influence. And I'm thinking of the likes of Hong Kong and Singapore, where they've sort of pushed the boundaries on LGBT rights. There's a lot of money in investment. How do you get the big investment decision makers to invest in a way that helps to push those boundaries for LGBT rights?
It's actually a very good question. And there's two things I would say. Firstly, I think there's been a lot of box ticking in the past. I think companies have said, we do this and we do that, and it's on our marketing brochure. But when you actually go and talk to their staff, it's not the case. So we've done a lot of work by saying stop the box ticking and really make this happening. And part of the process that we have makes sure that we look at companies and that they really are doing things. And one example, particularly with developing markets, so a company in the US, you know, a multinational, may do these things in the US, but when it's in China, it doesn't bother because it doesn't need to. And we say, if you're really going to pass these LGBT screens, you need to be advocating this wherever you operate. And one of the things we're actually doing at the moment, a project we're involved in, is that we have a survey for all of the major investment managers where we're actually checking what they do when it comes to an LGBT lens. And we're going to publish those survey results. At the same time, we've got a big survey going on throughout the LGBT community to find out what the community actually wants. As a result of this survey, there's going to be a lot of publicity and, you know, companies are going to be showed to be either doing this or not doing this, or, you know, there's an opportunity for one investment manager to be a real first mover. And I think they will get a significant advantage. When I talked to the earlier number, the 20 trillion number, that's the amount of money that in one way or another our community controls. So if somebody's doing the right thing, we have to make sure that these messages are getting out there and that our community is as much as possible supporting the people that do it well. In the UK, we have set up through LGBT Capital with a partner something called Equality Wealth, which is actually a wealth management or a financial advisor specialist for the LGBT community, where financial advisors have to get accredited. We have an accreditation program. So they have to truly understand the issues that LGBT people face. Because even though we have marriage and other stuff, there are also specific issues that the community face, particularly those of us of an older age group who've been in the closet in the past, who probably are not comfortable in talking to somebody about their sexuality. And therefore, how can you get good advice if the person that's advising you doesn't know you have a partner?
Speaking from Thailand, the co-founder of LGBT Capital, Paul Thompson, with us on Joy 94.9.
Now, we have spoken on this show before about companies that have LGBT programs and they promote things. They might go in Mardi Gras and show their pride colours. And there are some that do it for the right reasons and perhaps some that just do it for the, you know, the marketing, the spin.
But do you think that even if it's just for the spin, the fact that they are doing it is not advancing something? So think about a big bank, for example. They might not have all the policies, but they're out there. Yes, clearly they want the business, but just by being there, doesn't that make it a little bit better, even though they're still to put all policies, procedures in place to support their employees? It's the might be a first step.
I think that as a country, we're a bit further along than needing some of our bigger companies to just be there. Like, I think maybe even before marriage equality passed, it was good that they were pressuring the government to pass that, and they weren't doing much else, but that was good they were doing that because that was kind of the next step of what we needed done. But if they haven't got policies that are actually protecting the LGBT people that work for them, and I think by putting on a mask and saying, like, yeah, like, we're going to have an ATM machine that's decked out in pride stuff for a month, that makes up for that, or that is advances anything other than just trying to keep me as a consumer.
Yeah, because fair point.
Because I am allowed by a lot of rainbow stuff. So.
And I think, too, what makes a difference in a lot of companies is the leadership role. So if the right at the very top, the directors, the CEO, the board are leading by example. It takes out the example Paul gave of the trader on the floor who doesn't feel comfortable coming out. You know, that means the policies are not working. You can have all the policies you want, but it's not making a difference.
But Matt, I don't know if you remember, Alan Joyce from Qantas was quite vocal during the marriage equality, and there was a lot of negative press from the Liberals, mostly, saying that big business had no business dictating what the government should do with regard to rights.
I think they lost that argument.
Oh, they completely did. But, you know, what I mean, is that an argument that we need to have, or is it really just move on? And yes, they, because they carry so much weight, we need them to advocate for causes as well.
I think the businesses, many of the businesses there have spoken up on behalf of their LGBT employees and allies. And certainly Alan Joyce has said he will continue to do so. He wasn't deterred at all. Coming up on Joy 94.9, we find out what we can learn from the environmental movement about influencing investment. This is World Wide Wave.
This is Scott from the Equality Network Scotland on the World Wide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one queer story at a time, World Wide Wave. Tonight, we're exploring the global power of the pink dollar. A special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a review.
And just before we get back into LGBT capital, it's Christmas. It's the time of giving. And I'd just like to put it out there that it's a really good time to give to Joy. Imagine if we didn't have Joy around. This is a time that you can really make a difference, make a donation to keep Joy on air, not just on air, but into the new Pride Centre, Australia's very first Pride Centre that we will be moving into next year. We will really have the chance to bring together all the voices of our community. So if you're putting your gifts together, leave one under the virtual Christmas tree for Joy. We'd really, really appreciate it. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation.
We've been discussing how LGBT consumers can, through what they purchase or where they invest, influence LGBT rights, with our guest, Paul Thompson from LGBT Capital. Paul's also hoping to drive change by influencing the decision makers inside the global financial industry. But as we've seen many times on World Wide Wave, change happens at a very different pace in different countries. We asked Paul what countries are embracing their call for change the most.
It's interesting that you have to look at it from two perspectives. When it comes to embracing things like investment strategies, diversity, it is very much the typical markets, the developed Western markets, particularly the US, UK, parts of Europe, and there's good things being done in Australia as well. And there's an organization in Australia that's, you know, supporting diversity and so on. But when it comes to actually money and looking at the LGBT marketplace, it's interesting that places like China are actually doing quite a lot, because whereas from a government perspective, you don't have the same backing and support. You don't have same-sex marriage, or those are actually starting to be discussed in China now. You do have a pragmatic society that's not been previously driven by religion that actually says, hey, you know, if this market could be a good opportunity, let's go look at the market. So people like Alibaba have done projects, competitions and things that have been really focused at the LGBT market. And that's where the pragmatism of actually money speaking. And by people doing things like that, it starts to normalize, you know, the LGBT community and make us part and the same as everybody else. And not necessarily the same, but have the same rights and more positive attitudes.
You touched on the environmental movement, where there is a big push to both support companies with good environmental policies or campaign against companies with poor environmental policies.
Yeah.
In your investment model, do you see LGBT investment going in that direction? And I guess what could individuals do to make an influence in that way?
I think it will. I think we have to get the positive stuff correct first so that we really truly understand who's doing it well and who isn't. And I think then that will give you an opportunity. I think there's a carrot before the stick. I think the carrot is that you go to those companies and say, look, you know, 90 of the 100 companies are now doing this and you're not. If you don't do this, you're going to A, lose out on a business opportunity. Therefore, you should do it. And then you follow up with a, you know, name and shame type approach. Or that I show up at their shareholder meeting in a a pink glittery outfit, which would certainly be enough to make anybody want to do it. But so I do think you have an opportunity to use a carrot and a stick there.
So as an individual, how can I use my money to affect LGBT rights internationally?
Well, it's difficult at the moment, which is why we're doing the project that we're doing, to make sure that we can develop products and initiatives that people can. So, for example, through our operation in the UK, people can do that, but that doesn't exist in Australia, which is why we're trying to get major institutions and the big investors to take this on board, so that we can clearly give people a choice. Because unless there is something that allows you to proactively do that, it's more difficult to make that choice. If people were looking, and I always have to say that, we don't give advice to people, but, on a general basis, if people were buying individual stocks, then you can look at, there are published reports that tell you about that company's diversity policy. There certainly is an index listing in Australia, which is which is either in developed or out there. But particularly the US and the UK, there are a big, long-established index where people can look at those stocks and say, yes, this is in the top five stocks for D&I.
Paul, for you as an individual, this is clearly not just an everyday job for you. It's a passion project. What drives you to want to, take on this new frontier of LGBT investment?
I guess having gone through the process myself, I actually spoke to a bunch of 150 people from the investment management industry yesterday. And, in Asia, everybody assumes that because we're from a developed country that, it was all easy. But I'm from an age group, and I said I was born in the 60s, and then it was illegal to be gay. So I spent a lot of my time in the closet, where I was terrified to come out because I might get fired, or at least I wouldn't get promoted. And yet when I see all of these policies, and then when I go and talk to the employees and they say, no, I'm on the trading floor and my boss would fire me if he found out, I think some of this hasn't changed. So we've got these beautiful brochures promising this, that and the other, but the reality is it hasn't changed. Because I've lived through that and I've gone through that journey, I'm passionate about making sure that people don't have to go through what I went through. And in particular in Asia, it is still much more of an issue, and people can't come out at work because somebody might know their father and so on. So there's still a lot of this there that we need to address, and we need to help people, we need to educate, and we need companies to really do stuff that makes people comfortable in being who they are at work.
Paul Thompson, founder of LGBT Capital, thank you so much for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thanks very much.
A fascinating look, and it certainly got us thinking ourselves tonight about, what we could be doing more and thinking about our purchases. I did really want to talk about the environmental movement and what they do, because it's been really, really effective where they have, both for companies that haven't had policies, they've got people to boycott the products, or investors to speak up at annual general meetings. Particularly here in Australia, where the superannuation industry invests a whole lot of money, there's been a whole lot of ethical investments and superannuation companies saying, we're not going to invest in companies that are unenvironmental. What if we could take that same approach and bring it across for LGBT rights?
Are we ready for that?
Ooh.
I mean, you can see there's still a lot of homophobia around. I mean, even in Australia, and we are quite well advanced. There's again this argument that I mentioned earlier on about, should company do that? So, but we're doing it for the environment, and we're doing it for health. I was mentioning before, I wouldn't want my money put in tobacco companies, for example. So we should be doing it for this, and maybe it's because we've not thought about it as much as the environmental issues, the other issues.
And I also think, is it possible that we just don't have kind of one big enemy for everyone to kind of group behind? Like, for example, with the tobacco industry, right? Like, we know, like, there's a big movement about a long history of tobacco companies lying to people and defrauding people and people getting very upset about that. And there's a very big movement in the climate change industry about there being companies that are openly kind of, you know, creating fossil fuels that are destroying the environment. And I very easily spiral into a depression about that. But it seems that there are just ways that companies don't positively engage with the LGBT community individually and in very, sometimes very small, sometimes very big ways. And maybe it's because we need to talk about it more and we need to promote them more in negative light. But I can't think of huge companies in Australia that openly say, yeah, we're not LGBT stuff, you know, other than like, you know, like the church. We don't really have like a common enemy that everyone knows about to get behind and boycott.
So you think it might be a bit slow in the uptake because of that?
Yeah, like I think that we don't know who we should be taking this action against.
Paul sort of talks there about the carrot, and when we talked about the carrot or the stick, and he says, look, the carrot first and then you've got the stick to use later. Do you think we should be, you know, incentivising and promoting the companies doing the right thing as opposed to the boycotts, the shaming, the all those sorts of things? Maybe we don't need an enemy. We need to celebrate the successes.
I'd love if there was a history of the carrot working. I feel like in history it's often been the stick that we've definitely ended up using. But I'd love for them to prove us wrong and to go with the carrot.
Well, how would you, what incentive would they give us to invest in there? LGBT ethical companies, what would be the carrot?
I'm not quite sure. Well, actually, he did talk about China just being very pragmatic about the LGBT sector as a market. So nothing about religion, nothing about values, just seeing it as a market that they could explore. So maybe we need to be a bit more pragmatic. Certainly, we will be leaving our listeners tonight with many thoughts about how they might be able to make their own purchasing and investment decisions that support their values and the LGBTI community.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
A huge thank you to our guest tonight, Paul Thompson, the founder of LGBT Capital. You can find out more about them at lgbt-capital.com.
Thank you so much to those who have contacted us on Facebook this week. James, William, Nicole, Josh, Margarita, and a whole heap more who have joined in with us on that conversation. If you want to find us, that's W3Joy on Facebook.
And we want to thank behind the scenes, we've got our podcaster, Peter, and also Dean, our social media master.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.